church. Get your notes out real quick and start reading it. It's divine. What else?
Yeah.
Organic. Very rare. It's organic. You got anything else?
Place where the Christ feels at home.
It's a place where Christ feels perfectly relaxed and at home.
Living.
That's living. Ah, and sometimes she's beautiful. She's a girl. I don't think we wrote that down. Put that in your notes. She's a girl. She's a she. She's an organism, not an organization, and you should not organize her. She has her own natural expression. I said something else about what she is by nature. She's a colony out of heaven, and is the one heavenly thing that is on this earth, the outer realm thing that's on this earth, and she should reflect that. For you and for me, she is our civilization. She is, in fact, our habitat. She is where we live. Many of you have heard me say it before, but what school is to fish, what a flock is to sheep, what a covey is to quails, what a herd is to cattle, and what civilization is to fallen man, ecclesia is to the redeemed. And therefore, something in me gets really rebellious when I think that everything Christians do today that's fun is outside the church, and everything that's boring is in the church. Therefore, something's wrong with our concept of church. And that's what we've been handling and doing with all this week. What's the expression of the church? Did we talk about that, didn't we? The expression? What the and purpose of gathering. That's what it was. Barbara?
I'm sorry. Yes, A.K. Babs?
To display the bride of Christ before falling.
To display the bride of Christ? And what?
For the angels.
Okay, we meet before angels. Every time we gather before angels. I would never think about it that. To show the beauty of the Lord's wife, or at least his girlfriend, his fiancée, his bride. Okay? To make Jesus Christ visible, we offer his body, and to make him visible. Okay, there'd be something else about the purpose. It's to shame the principalities and powers, to prove that Jesus Christ himself can come invisibly upon this earth and guide his people. What the Father is to the Son is to the church. Jesus lived on this earth, heard his Father speak, listened to his Father, obeyed his Father, followed his Father, and demonstrated and made his Father visible. The church, when it gathers, and it is in its gathering, when all the pieces and the parts, the body parts, are assembled, they're doing what Christ did. When in his relationship to the Father, it's passed on to us. We are showing that he can be heard, felt, responded to, loved, and made visible on this earth. And that as the Father was the head of Jesus Christ, and was his Lord and his King, and if you please, his dictator. I'm the one who told him what to do and what to say. When the church gathers, she does the same thing. He is her Lord. He speaks. She obeys. A meeting is to demonstrate the headship of Jesus Christ. There ought not to be human leaders at a meeting. Fred Miller, and I have a little common background. So I'll say something that Fred will appreciate. A meeting is not a place where a bunch of people walk in with briefcases and sit down on the front row and start the meeting. I'm going to turn around like a bunch of turkey gobblers and watch what everybody's doing. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Fred? All right. The brethren do that. If you've ever been in a brethren meeting, the leaders will always more or less march in, sit down on the front row. You never read the Bible in a briefcase, and man, I mean, you're intimidation, day one. And, of course, in the religious system, none of that. You got your bulletin, the pastors decided it. But I would say in the beginning, in the birth of a church, he who leads, who builds, who lays the foundation ought not to be present in those meetings in which you're seeking to tear down old ways. There ought not to be anybody present who is considered a leader. And let the strong say they are weak. Not the weak say they are strong. But let those who are aggressive sit back. And let the timid be the ones who lead out. Now, we got responsibilities and meetings that I cannot possibly this weekend touch upon. So I'm going to say a couple of things that will be very disappointing to you. I'm going to tell you some of a few of the problems with meetings in which you seek to have no leadership, human leadership, and fat of the Lord. One of the problems is that most of us don't know how to follow the letter in the meeting. The best we can do is just stumble around with one foot in the dew pot. It takes a long time to get sensitive to the Lord. It will take literally years. But it is a wonderful thing when you do. But there is always, and this is my point, there is always someone who never catches on. You can be in the middle of a glorious meeting that you really sense the Lord has head off. He's not only being magnified, but he is leading that meeting. And I have likened it unto, could you imagine you're standing in the middle of the experience of the Lord's second coming, and the angels have become visible, and here the heavenly host is gathering, and all the redeemed, past and present, are recoming, and there's the Lord in his glory. It is the most magnificent moment of all times. And about that time, someone walks by hurrying. Peanuts? Popcorn? Peanuts? Popcorn? Anybody want some peanuts? Popcorn? Anybody want a program? Can't tell what's going on in the light back there. And you have this human being who just messes up everything royally. He or she, and it's a female as often as it is a male, just doesn't seem to have any sensitivity to the war. Here you are, low on your knees. You're all praising the Lord. Glory is abounding. The songs all fit. Each ran out and tells another story. Everything is just going on and on. And then someone says, let's sing Du Lord. And I'll tell you your first urge. Your urge is to care for everyone else. And this person will be this way all the rest of their life, now and forever, wherever that end. You're going to live with him or her. That's why I'm saying to you, only rarely will you be in a meeting in which from beginning to end the Lord has full headship. I'm sorry to tell you that is true. I will tell you that there will be people who exert leadership in the meetings when you will know that they shouldn't. That's another problem. And I'm going to tell you something else. If I'm present in a meeting, I'm warning you now, if I'm present in a meeting and if it's not going well, I will step in and change it. And you might dislike me, but I'm not there so much to be part of a meeting. Now, that's not always true, but that's a possibility if I'm present. I'm there to train, to educate, to lead you, to show you something higher or better. And you're going to have to excuse me for being that way, but I am extra local, and I will leave in a few days, and you'll be rid of me. I'm not like that guy who says peanuts and popcorn. You're stuck with him forever. Songs that are out of place. Testimonies that are out of place. Everybody's having this wonderful time with sharing about the Lord and someone themselves. Well, I think this is the right time. Or they'll often say, I'm not sure what I'm doing this, Craig, but I'm going to do it anyway. That's a sure sign you're in trouble. When they decide to get up and tell the church how ugly it's treated them. And we have to sit there and bear it in. And it's totally out of order. But it's there. Another one is, I don't like you. You just made half the gray hairs in my head. I don't know what to do with you. You don't know how to stop talking. And one person always comes to mind. I've seen dozens of them like this, but one person comes to mind. It was a girl. She ended every sentence with and. She drew up, I am telling you. The Lord showed me such and such and such and such, and. She had no idea what she was going to say. They'd do this long pause, and then she'd say something else. This girl would sometimes talk for 20, 30, or 40 minutes, and every sentence ended with an and. She could not finish. She could not quit. However, one of the most interesting things about that situation was she had all other problems, too. She was with us 3 or 4 years. She served near peanuts and popcorn at this very sacred coming in the near hours in the church. The day that I finally sat down with her after years and years and years and years of chaos and trouble and pain she brought to the church, first time she was ever confronted, and it was as general as I know how, and I can be very, very general. In fact, she did most of what was said and done that day. That day she packed her bags and left. And I always think of that, that the church was for her a platform. You understand what I'm saying? It's a place for that person, dear. Everyone had that kind of person always in the church. Sometimes they'll be a very arrogant human being. I know you know a few of these folks. They feel the whole world centers in them. And their sharing is always not a self-centered attitude, an element to it. It's just, you hide right forever. I made a decision early in my ministry, and that was that at least for the first 15 or 20 years, until the young ones became older men in their 30s, I was never going to let anyone see me angry, confrontive,
judgmental, critical, adjustive,
rebuking, anything negative. I was going to demonstrate to them patience and force patience on them, because that's a lot more difficult than confrontation.
Yeah.
And also, once you confront someone, there is someone, not one, but many people in your meeting, he will use confrontation then. Now, if I do something once, there's a saint back there somewhere who's just inclined that way. And once they see it, they have license from that day and forevermore to do that. I will give you a recent example out of my own life. For the first time in my ministry, from the day I was called to preach at the age of 18 until I was 55 years old, about 4 or 5 months ago, something happened that got to me. I got hurt. Hurt bad enough that I brought it to the church. Boy, there were brothers who had waited 20 years to see me do that. 20 years they waited to have license. And the day they saw me vulnerable and weak, all sorts of problems broke out. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about, but I know my responsibility as a minister of the gospel is to not be rebukative and confrontive. Or I do, I'm going to come back and find a church full of rebukers and confronters. Now, on the other hand, Babs, I envy you. That's one side. On the other hand, I envy you, because I room into correct, exhort, adjust people so many times, and I just haven't and haven't and haven't. I have to get pressed to the roll before I lean forward on somebody and say, thou ailest here, here, and here. We got a fellow who came and joined us, and we knew something was wrong, and something was wrong. And finally, the word came to us that God had sent him to us to lead us. And God had told him that he would be the leader of our group. And that's what was wrong. He was, when these strange testimonies were coming, they weren't testimonies, they were orders. And of course, he being a very unusual person, he couldn't catch on to that. It was just declarations, rebukes, and he was actually functioning as the leader. I sicked 2 brothers right here, being the coward that I am. And that's a pretty serious matter, and he was an older man too. I'm very reluctant to speak to. I'm reluctant to correct. I'll be happy to tell you my method. Rather than do that, I will have the church in a meeting
There are other ways to skin a cat besides doing it with a rusty spoon. I have a church to vote and who they want to blow the whistle and people who... And it becomes a fun thing. This person is going to correct or stop or whatever. And the church chooses someone to do that in the meeting. And that person actually does it. And it goes over really well.
And by the way, I recommend that. I don't recommend it the first meeting in particular, but I recommend it because it would be there.
And I think, and let me hang this little hook here and come back to it later. I think, brothers and sisters, if you're going to have meetings of such a radical nature as I have described, that I think that you have to do a lot of discussing about these meetings at other times and discuss the problems that are coming up in them. And as I said to you last night, to be a rower when they start getting dead and dry and to do something about it. But that's one of the things. When someone is over-functioning, or to illustrate it, my whole body is functioning, but obviously some part of my body has gotten to over-function. And that's what happens to the Lord's body. You get somebody, one of the members is just hurt their face, or... I would say generally, unless you got a very sick situation in the church, which should be very rare, that need not ever happen. And I'm going to give you a cure for it. Now, the cure has itself problems, as all cures do. There are side effects. For years, now it's part of a hallmark in my own ministry, and I'm not telling you you ought to do this, but I wouldn't know how to do what I do without it. I would not know how to function without this. We never have Sunday morning meet. I mean, we have had, and they're always horrible. Or is this something cursed about letting it in? And so, and look, truly, it's just, you don't know. You can leave meet it. Let me meet a week, except Sunday morning. And something will happen. Well, we don't have Sunday morning. I'm not even going to have Sunday morning meetings. We've been bored with it. Try it for 2 or 3 months. Here you go, Lisa. I'm just going to be part of it. I won't be there. I'm not going to put up with it. I'm not going to live in that kind of atmosphere. I can't stand it. But anyway, what we do instead is have voters' meetings every Sunday. And we dump it all out there. But now that I had the situation like that, you got to have someone who feels very, very secure of how he's doing. Not everybody is that secure. And I mean, we have it. And there's no time for murmuring out in the middle of the week. We're all on our own Sundays. And that's one of the things we do is talk about our meetings and where they are and what they're doing. Now, then there are times, but I have to admit that murmuring can take place outside, when, even if you have brothers' meetings every Sunday. But, Bill, when you got that, you got major problems in the church. I mean, you got major problems. You're probably facing a split. One of the problems with having brothers' meetings, and that's with all the brothers present, is the sisters are left out. Some brothers and sisters are in there, but the brothers don't act the same way. The sisters are probably kills the brothers' meeting just like that. So you have sisters' meetings. Well, the sisters could get a hoot. You know, sisters, y'all get together and talk about what your problem is. Those sisters are going to get together and worship the Lord and pray and cry and go home for another for that. I'm not going to have you get the sisters to do that. Well, do the sisters get together and discuss some of the problems that they brought to the church? No, mercy, I came in college.
You can do it.
But we may just discuss problems. We can get through faster.
Well, that is very true. Oh, there was a gift of being a woman that is just wonderful. But in my own case, I have been asked, therefore, if the sisters are not going to be present, because we do live in a different day. And I have memories now since the 60s. There are always one or two sisters who run those brothers' meetings. Very liberated. I very well tell about what's going on with brothers. I'm over there. What are you thinking? That's right, as you about going to know what you're doing. So what little things we've done is we've had to back away from decision-making in the brothers' meetings and just airing problems and not doing anything about them.
And the other thing was, I try to meet with the sisters once a month
and tell them everything I can remember that's going on. and let them talk with me. Now, genes are not always there, that's true, and many do. And the answer is, some of us needs to do that. But well, some of them needs to be at times. And then we have brothers' meetings, we have sisters' meetings, and then sometimes we do have persons' meetings. A persons' meeting? I'm surprised you didn't catch that. There's a salesman, and then they became a salesperson. Or we have person meetings. Our brothers and sisters are both there. We have brothers, too. But I'd say, generally speaking, sisters don't split churches. Sisters don't split churches. And brothers have, what was that, testosterone? What was that? Testosterone what? Something that he said. Or which makes us warlike or aggressive. Warlike. That's right. Sisters, bless their hearts, don't have this particular hormone. And the brothers are better out of place to vent. Another problem with having brothers' meetings is some of the brothers begin to get the idea that the brothers' meetings is an elders' meeting. And I don't know if the deal is, guys. They just are naturally hostile. They don't want leadership in the church. They're terrified when elders are appointed because they're afraid that suddenly they're going to have to be submissive to them around them. I would say this to you. I'm going to tell you two brothers from Atlanta and all the rest of you if you show up here. There'll be brothers' meetings. But those brothers' meetings are grace-given. They're not scriptural. And it's a privilege, not a scriptural right. It's not a right, it's a privilege, granted. And again, there are times when you have to ask some brother to just stir out of the meeting. I've never had to do it yet, but I've come awfully close because he is just so antagonistic about everything. It's a privilege, not a right. Nonetheless, it is my own style, and I enjoy it. Well, that's not all we do. Most of what we do is worship the Lord. All brother do in a brother's reading than in any reading or Miss Earth. That's people absolutely refuse to have church by. They're going to let God do it. And God doesn't happen to work that way. Let me tell you something about your Lord. He is by nature hidden. Ye Pentecostals, you have a God who's everywhere. He's in the room, the trees, and the cigarette smoke. That's smoke over there, you know. And he's in the water, and he's in a sign, he's in a vision, he's in this, he's there. You got a God that just show up anywhere. And God told me this, and God told us that, and got a vision of, and this and that, and that. Everybody's got a vision. Or you got a God that just springs up everywhere. I want you to look at just stand back and look at your God for a moment. Your God created this universe and left absolutely no proof that he exists. Now I want you, Christian, to put this into your pipe smoking from that. That there is no proof for the existence of God. There isn't. Well, there's no proof. Nobody's found one single shred of evidence for the existence of God. God works in him. He'll then come down and suddenly become head of his church. This week, there will probably be somewhere between 50 and 500 and 1,000 experiences of church life. There will be probably 50 to 100 groups that will begin meeting this week. Out of a wonderful experience with the Lord, and everyone will say, we'll make it. Others didn't. We will, because God wouldn't let us down and bring us this far, give us all this, and leave us. Man, have you overestimated your God? He'll leave you high and dry. He'll just walk off and leave you. Flopping in the breeze, he will walk off and leave you. No, he doesn't leave any proof of his existence, and he doesn't show up very often. Do you not realize that your name is Believer? All of those who believe in the presence of more evidence.
We are believers.
I can't help it that God ordained church planters. If you can't handle one, fine. But say goodbye to any permanent experience of church life, and I am still standing here, 56 years old. I've said this before, I've said it now, I'll say it to the day I die. I've never seen an exception to it, and I never will. These groups die. They die. They dissolve, and they die. I made that statement in this building a year and a half ago to a group of people who don't exist today. And they were very, some of them were very irate with me that it would not happen to them. In fact, I remember vividly three people sprang out immediately. Our situation is different. Maybe it was, but they don't need anymore. It's Atlanta, Georgia. Yes, we all know how to meet. Yes, we want to take responsibility. Yes, we're scared. Yes, we're writing our past experience in it. And yes, those are some of the things that kill us. But we don't have to die if there's someone to help. All right. Let's see. I had rooms. Let me go back to these meetings and look at them for a minute. Perhaps the most serious problem you face after the initial time of experiencing the there, all the things us are equal and well and running well, the biggest problem you face, and you don't have a ritual, that's people tend to come later and later and later and later until their ears know meeting. You know, now it's for 7:30, people come at 8 because everyone's going to be there at 8:15. You start getting past 8:15 when people stop coming. And that is a responsibility you've got, and it is a problem for which I have never found a cure. And that's again why you need an extra local worker now and forever, world without end. You need somebody who will come in from the outside and turn things upside down, around, and backwards. You're a hero of my method, though. I'm giving away so many trade secrets this week. I would make an announcement that you better be there at 7 p.m. And if the majority of the church is not there at 7 p.m., I dismiss the meeting and send everybody home. That's one. Now, you better not do this, but I can. I can do this because this is... That's just the way... This is the way it is. Two. I come in there at 7 p.m. I walk to the Father meeting. I get my Bible out, and I read a text and start preaching. And people come in, they're absolutely dumbfounded. I'm halfway through the message, and they just not there. There's been no singing or praying or anything else. And number three, and this one is drastic, that the meeting is at 7 p.m., but we will lock the doors at 6:55, and no one can sign it in after that. And by the way, I'm looking for suggestions. Oh, you three things I do, but I'll take any ideas you got. Let me tell you something. About every 6 months to a year, the church has to be put back together again all over when she is not following ritual and form and when she has no people to read her in the meetings. She has to be put back together again about every 6 months to a year. It's got to be done. And that is the scripture, and that is the New Testament. And why can we not awaken to this? I don't really totally fair as a prayer, but it's like a piece of clay that begins to melt. You made this beautiful pot. Rick got me about a year later, and about half that pot's eased out over the table, and maybe one of the handles on it's far enough, and it's not there for a lawyer much longer. To me, this is a joy. This is a wonderful thing there. A good, wonderful, glorious resurrection and change of direction about every year. But sure is hard on people who are set in their ways. A home is constantly undergoing revision, isn't it? Going out better than Sister John pump a meeting up. Well, I think when we start pumping a meeting up, and I'm not opposed to seeing that happen from time to time, but when it becomes what you're doing every week, it is time you change the way you meet. You got to do something different. You got to stop whatever you're doing. Generally speaking, we ought not to pump up the meeting. That is usually the sign of problems coming. There is an element of leadership that we're the in every meeting. And I can say to yours, it's there and it's probably natural. There's not much you can do about it. But the church will reach a point where it becomes, and I'm using this word, it's not a good word, but I'm using it in a positive sense, will become addicted to its meetings without human leaders, and we're fight to keep that privilege. Community has a tendency to make us dependent upon the community, and we lose our individual relationship to the road. Actually, we don't lose our individual relationship to the road. What we do is we stop taking responsibility for our lives and start looking to somebody else. All I can tell you is that I fight that tooth and toenail constantly. I bring it up. I remind people of it. But no, is that you mean? I have never found a solution for this one. When people get so attached to one another that their friendship is more important than the Lord and his house. We have a sermon down in Texas, if a dog ever starts stirring eggs, you can't break him. All you can do is shoot him.
And that's true. You cannot beg a dog from stealing eggs. Once he does, you're going to have to move into the city where there are not any eggs.
And I don't know what to do with Christians when they reach that point, other than to tell them to, you know, go have their friendship the rest of their life. I'll try to shy away from encouraging the church to have church-wide prayer meetings. That's strange, isn't it? We tend to pick up one another's vocabulary. I always encourage you to have your own prayer life. I would encourage you in that. And to meet with one or two people. And keep your own row of speaking. Watch language in the church. Hey, this is not a church's fault. It's not a leader's fault. I watched people come in and their attitude is, I want to be one with you. Show me what your vocabulary is. What do we believe? What's our vision? What's our goal? And I will become a fanatic at it. Just fill me in on the details, and I'm ready to go. There are really needy people in this world who want to abdicate their responsibility to life and turn it over to someone else. I think none of my responsibilities and anybody else's is not give a hoot out of advice and not direct people. Now, I had a problem there. You don't hear what June Everidge problem? Well, I'm a very enthusiastic person. You come up to me and start talking to me about something, and then I'm going to just really encourage you. And 5 years later, you come back and say, you told me to do that. I ask everybody in an imminent, I'm going to be asking, I haven't had the privilege of doing this since I decided to ask. I would ask everybody to take from 1 to 2 months a year away from the church and a sabbatical. Now, I don't take a sabbatical, I'd wait till 7 years. I think 4 is a much better idea. It just don't come. Go attend the Baptist church for a year. Don't get so much involved that you literally lose your mind into a larger mind of the community. I don't always see people give up their individuality. I fight for it hard. It's one of the things I stand for. And I can't stand this business of courting little groups. Can't stand this business of picking up a certain vocabulary, having visions and goals, and a movement orientation. I can't stand head covering or authoritarianism. That's just all vocabulary in order to ensnare. And I didn't think the people who do it know it, but it's where it heads anyway. And man, you suffered, and you lost everything. My first emotion is, this is too terrifying. There's too many risks. Let's just not do anything. I have another feeling. I want to share it with you, Patty. You had something, you lost it. You lost it because of men. The panamnistry, that's true. Behind men is Satan. And behind Satan is God. And ultimately, there was his world. Now, Paul, you have something to give the kingdom of God. What's a testimony? Don't lose your individual responsibility. Now, you see that a lot clearer than most of us do, even others who've lost it. Probably the battle crash needs that. Maybe not now. Maybe you're not ready. You still need some of your own fine. But, Patty, don't ever forget that behind the cross and agony and pain is purpose. It always doesn't always get fulfilled, that there was purpose in everything. And as far as I'm concerned, you are a jewel of protection for the church. That, all right, you've suffered. You've seen something. Something looks to have us remissing. Will we suffer as a body and continue having this lack?
I hope not. I'm aware that testimony of yours would be valid for a people.
I was often asked by the sisters, the young sisters, during the time of the Jesus movement, the young sisters would say, what is our place in the church?
And my answer was always, when you are 40, you will tell me.
We're going to grow up in the church, and when you're 40, you will tell me what the sister's place is in the church. All right. If we understand that we're kind of worthless anyway till we get to be 30.
The first 20 years of your Christian life is for grown-up.
Those of us who are older will tell you that we left adolescence at 30, and we grew up at 40. And you don't know that, and you never will know it. And I used to hate old people who talk that way. That's mirror on my life. And I did, and they moved out of the way, and I have no regrets. But
I had a lot to learn of Jesus Christ that is spiritual, though is deep and profound, and that cannot be learned in your 20s. It cannot be learned in your 20s. You're never going to know the cross in your 20s. It can't be done. The cross doesn't stick in your 20s. You may meet it, but it doesn't stick in your 20s. It begins to stick a little in your 30s. That was nice to you, was it? And I have that to say to all of you who are getting older. I'm really nursing all these pains you got from church life. Why don't you let it turn to gold, brother?
But gold, not hyssop. There's nothing worse that can happen to a group of people than to have some old sourpuss walk in. We started in Portland and we had to stop because some people came in and literally they were so terrified from their background that they stopped every meeting and corrected everybody because every time we met, we were making errors that were going to give us in trouble. And they would grind every meeting to a halt with correction. One day I just stopped, walked out, and left. It was impossible to meet. These were all people older than me. I believe it or not, I still respect people older than me. There are only 5 or 10 left. If you can let that then turn to gold, it becomes a wonderful vessel for God. All right. If those of you listening to this tape, and those of you sitting in this room, or anything else, having a meeting in which you seek to put that meeting under the headship of Jesus Christ has its problems, friends. Or somebody had explained to me how to get commitment to Christ out of the people of God. We will commit ourselves to anything but Jesus Christ. We will commit ourselves to filling in, to a movement. The only reason he can get hurt is because you have a commitment that's misplaced. You made a commitment to the church, and ferocious commitment. And it should be local, but it has to be Astor Universal. And I don't know, retreat that. The church as what she ought to be, should be, and so forth. You don't go off to the roads and lick your rooms for 2 hours because you got hurt locally. Something is wrong with your commitment. There is no excuse for thousands of people leaving a movement destroyed.
Unless you have been... had hot poker stuck up your tenas
and physically abused. Now that you got excuses for. You take 5 or 10 years off from that. But I'm a redeemer who has been physically abused and he hasn't stopped yet. There ain't nothing stopped that brother. He spent over half of his Christian life in prison. From the day he was saved to this day, and he's, I think, a real renowned. Over half his life has been split in prison. He's never stopped. He wouldn't stop in prison. He can stop anywhere. I told him to mess about him. He and so ran for the Christian faith is outlawed, and in fact, the fact that he was the first Christian ever saved in his nation, and he went to jail, my father quit throwing him in jail. Now, he has the right to nurture his own.
The missionaries are not allowed in there. And every time he sent to prison, Christian missionaries going by his followers with money. And he comes out and he doesn't have a fire raft. Now, if there's a man of this earth living in the bear who's got a right to be bitter with him. And I've spent a week in my home. Grimly, I consider him no bit the bravest man of this century. You never even heard of him. Probably never will.
It's spent, what, 50 or 20 years in prison at the hands of the government.
And asking a question I've asked myself and other men who've been persecuted for the faith, I said, which hurts the most? Being put in prison? Even put in our institutions. And can you imagine what a prison in Nepal would be like? Which hurt the most? Being thrown in prison by your government or what Christians have done to you? But his eyes flashed and he said, there's no comparison. It's what Christians do, Jared. And he wrecks out of prison and all of his Christians, all of his followers, people who Lord ever in underwear, every one of them bought off by Christian missionaries who turned them against him. And he grabs his run-out tools and he starts all over again from zero. Hallelujah. Now there's a man after God's own heart. I sat and listened to that bitter talk and I cried like a baby. I felt so ashamed. Shoot. I have not yet suffered for my Lord. Nobody has mistreated me. I have not been abused. Not when I compare my life with his.
I'm hurt. Don't you recognize these things are from the hand of God?
We're all from the hand of God. And Rudland, I don't understand how. Let me gripe a minute. About Saturday, on July 17th, 1939 or 50, I really can't remember. Is it the Dome of Furious? I'm still dead old today. I ain't talking about that. The Dome for my 70th birthday. I was a junior in college, by the way, at that time. Sold to the grill bar. And a wonderful day. I learned that. Oh, we lost that. From when I get converted, somebody figured out I'm going to be 56 tomorrow. Soon. So what year was that? Is that 49 or 50? I think it was
49. I'm not sure.
Anyhow, I love all the Christians. Somebody figured this up for me. I never have thought about this. And people, I'm a Christian. It was like from that moment till this minute, nobody has ever had to sit down with me and encourage me to go with the Lord. There's been nothing that's ever happened in my life until I get leave sin.
Not that I haven't sinned. Come back to God. Come back. I've spent half my ministry trying to talk people into staying followers of the Lord.
Don't ask me about commitment, butter. I don't understand. I don't know. I'm nervous that most people between the ages of 17 and 24
are not committed to Christ, they are running on youth, their enthusiasm, even where they commit their lives to the Lord. People from ages 24 through 28, it is hard to tell, but whatever you have done from 17, 18 through 27, 28 is up for reevaluation between the ages of 28 and 32. And it is at that point that you lose most Christians. Though out there, they are saved, but today they are making money. Materialism has more excitement to them than Christ does. And then if you get up to people 40 or old and bitter and slicker and fade and corrective and on air, that's the whole of the world. Where are you? They're committed. I don't mean to sound a pessimistic note, but that's my observation. Why can't you stay long? Why can't you be enthusiastic and wide-eyed and believing and not be so grim and fair? Little song that I got here. I break choruses and they're immaterial but about to send it. The song that has some songs in the front called Greetings. They don't have any numbers in them. It's to greet people. The lure of the psalms, and each psalm is by its number.
Then we start at pins 200, and I think it goes up to about 225, and then we're at page 300.
Page 300 starts with a different kind of hymns.
300 was up to about 350, I remember on page 400. Medina, how we doing this? So we can keep sticking different kinds of songs on the place where they belong.
When we get to 500, we have choruses. Actually, page 400, we have choruses, section 1.
And then choruses, section 2. And I want you to see this. Choruses, section 1, worship and adoration.
Choruses, section 2, jar and delight. Now, I'm saying to you that we spend almost all of our time in choruses number 2. Not in hymns, not in songs, not in psalms per se, not in worship and adoration, but in joy and delight. We're going to do that this week, weekend. We will do it without apology. I love it as much as you do.
Our last section was page 600. It's popular tunes that Christian music has been written by. As far as I'm concerned, these are the best songs in the book.
Wolf, you stole with joy, and up and high, the church will eventually die. And you will become artificial. And you will pop up. And you will keep on pumping up, and there will be something wrong, and you can't get your hands on it. This is the mistake of the super churches and the glory churches. You can't be up all the time. In fact, there are times the church ought to stop with suffer. A church needs dry spells. Do you know that the Christian life needs dry spells?
Are you aware that the Christian life needs the cross?
Yeah.
Are you aware that you need to be
lost? I don't mean from salvation, but lost in relationship to the Lord's direction in your life.
Do you know that if you don't have dry spells, you're in big trouble?
It's not dry spells, it's your election of dry spells.
Yeah.
Jim Gano made a powerful statement, that is, that our election to a dry spell or a time of glory should be so. Except the criminal and the very by faith.
Now, those of you who are well outward of joyful Peter, optimistic, and God love you, I envy you. Everything is always optimistic to you, and
you love sunsets and see light in them. I envy you. You love to sing.
David danced before the war, and you like to get out here and dance, and you are detected or read or all that. That's great. And watch, you need not really have been leaning to that stars. Anything else, you're just sitting there waiting for some kind of glory. And we all enjoy it, but some of us have been enjoying it too much. You can't build the kingdom of God on up tunes. There's a lot nearer to the kingdom of God than a tambourine and an accordion and a piano and castanets and drums and guitars.
They are trying to bring your worship into meetings today. All that I have seen now that feels to me to be terribly inadequate.
It's beautiful songs. And supposed to raising your hands. Now, am I being unfair? With some of you are much more acquainted with this than I am. Can't you help me at all? I don't want to be unfair here.
Was that right? The worship movement giving people to praise, raise their hands, or... Well, I was terribly inadequate.
I'm going to address the subject, but it just never gets addressed. And all is means all worship. And we're talking in worship. We're not talking about kill. That's the hardest kind of meeting them is. Most of us, I'm believing, I've never seen one. I've seen a few. And I want you to know I'm hungry to see a bunch more. Sometimes I like to pick all the people I like to ask to stay home. A meeting like that has to be prepared for if you've never been in one. Even if you had been in one, it's going to have to be prepared for it. That is my personal experience. And I'm going to talk to you about it. You've got to have it to balance the other kind of leaders. No, I'm not a bit. I retract that. They have got to be meetings of worship and adoration to counteract the meetings of joy and delight that will always cancel out a meeting of adoration. Have you had a meeting of adoration? Somebody gets bored with it and breaks in with do air.
No.
No, you've never been to a meeting like that. Bless you. We had one person in this room that says no. I'd like to see other people who can say yes to that.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see what healed this weekend. It wasn't a breakup, but we've had two different kind of scenes. We get real happy and excited, and we've had songs that like, so it's magister. And yeah, let's mix them together. Fanod, separate them entirely. Fanod, have your hoedown. And just have your hoedown. Well, while I'd announce the meeting of adoration in which you come to worship, have you got to have both kinds or you're in trouble? And sometimes it is good that then do mix together. But sometimes you have to separate the two and have to recognize that fact and know when to transist from one to another. So I like that. And I almost missed that. We need meetings of adoration to balance the meetings of joy and delight. And we can have both in one meeting, but we'll need to distinguish between the two, talk about it, and know the difference. Now, my next point is, we also need some meetings that most of us have never seen in our lives, and that's meetings of true, profound worship. And I'm going to make a stab and telling you how. But you can't go do this. Don't even try. It'll be a bust. Now, maybe you can. Maybe I'm wrong. We're going to do it next summer, right here. We'll just go in next summer. We're going to have one meeting of worship. If we fail, fine. The Lord will at least know we have tried. I'm sure error raised, but this is all I know. First of all, you got to announce that's right. It's going to do it. You got to work at it like crazy. For weeks. What is it going to take? But one thing it is going to take, some preaching on the glory of Christ until you see him. And everything in you aches to worship him. Second, I recommend a room that was darkened. And third of all, I recommend the one with very few chairs in it, over for people over 56 years old. Chairs are on the edge of the room for people who need to sit and can no longer kneel. I would clear the floor and make in place with brothers and sisters can kneel.
prefer that animal. You think that'll be a mean show? And then I did some sharing that this is a being to worship. To the assembly of very few one wonder ever read. To truly worship. I would ask that that reading begin with a very town of quiet. With hearts full of the love of Christ. And now from this point on, you will not understand what I mean or so. I would take that meeting off the earth, remove it from space, and remove it from time. And that meeting needs to be, from my view, but has to take place somewhere other than this planet. You can't do it all the reef. I would recommend that you join that multitude the band can depart. Go through open door. John said existed, then was recorded in Revelation. And join another age, another period of time, another world, another will, and worship God with all the host of the redeemed and elect angels. We're going to do that, so I'm not in charge here, Jeff. Like it may be 5 or 10 years from now, but maze those without one meeting in which we worship heaven. May it be 20 of us, that could be 50, I don't read out of mind, you know, I'm sure there was sufficient to us at all, but it was my hope of hope for a good number of people who are after wreaths of preparation to come and worship. Now, but really are some songs that reflect glory that profound. And that's why I'm not afraid, and why I'm always concerned about the loss of our heritage. Are I still out crowded with many crowds?
Yeah.
I still like holy, 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 and I read, worthy is the Lamb. And we have written the second stanza to that. And we don't sing it like it's usually sung, but I've noticed other people have done this too. Or it comes to the end, well, I've seen others saying, come to that point and say, thou art worthy. And then they don't sing the rest. And then they sing, thou art worthy. And then say it again, thou art worthy. And then again, thou art worthy. And then with a crescendo, oh Lord. I rewrote the second stanza to it. I like it even better than the first one. I like that. And I like it. I love it. We saw all held the power of Jesus last night by a classical tune. Many of you have never heard it. Brothers and sisters, that's rapturous, when our people would put their hearts, souls, and bodies and being into it. Another one is, I read it to you, the other night, the New Jerusalem will lift the roof. I mean, written went to heaven a gear, and then it will lift the roof. It was a song of great adoration and glory. But there is none to compare to that one, which was written in a trance. Are you familiar with the story? If you are not familiar with the story, I would tell you, I assume that Handel of old was a believer. And he ran the room and got down and sat down at his oven, and he was there for 7 days. He did not eat a single bite. I believe that is correct. Is that correct? Anybody more familiar with the story than I am? Got down to the Hallowry course. And he didn't remember writing that thing. People were afraid for his life. He was in there playing that thing at the oven, and he'd growl if anybody came to the door. Beer at the door, water at the door. He didn't, during that, he did not sleep. He did not eat. He sat there at that organ, and he wrote the. And the last part was the Hallowry Course, which to me is the greatest and best part of it. In fact, I don't really write much to the rest. I think all fake angels can improve from the Hallelujah Chorus. It is a
It was a glorious expression of praise, and I think the Church of Jesus Christ is better like to sing that thing. Why do we think these things have to be relegated to choirs? The same thing was true of a marriage prayer. Why do we feel, and it absolutely has to be a solo? I watched 2,000 Baptist preachers sing the marriage prayer one day, and I haven't recovered from it yet.
I love that. It beats archy-archy. How do you do?
I'm telling brothers and sisters, lift your hands in praise and adoration and all of that stuff, but I'm addressing something that has not been addressed. I'm talking about worshiping our Lord in another realm. I'm worshiping Him with our bodies, our souls, and our spirits.
I'll experience that. Twice in my life, I've attempted to do something more radical than that. And we're not on our stomach. I'm saying, I'm going to do it again one of these days. I went. And both times, somebody sold peanut and popcorn right in the middle of the year. Both times. I got this dream. I got this hope of holding a meeting outside of time and space. A whole bull meeting outside of time and space with nobody present.
But the Father and the Son, holy,
in the Godhead. We got
patience to soul we've never set up. Needed a revolutionary new way to meet.
I got some things to say. I had more to talk about here than this.
There was going to be a conference held here next summer. I am going to find a man. He's going to be a Christian. I don't care. I'd like for him to be outside the organized church and live by their rarest heart. But right now, all I want him to do is be able to teach the high rate course. And he's going to teach us a lot of other new things. And we're going to come here, and you're going to bring with you a copy of every truly great song you know. I mean those that you know are great and will stand the test of the ages. I am going to try to bring some new songs myself that I either will have written or that others have or will have written. And we're going to learn a lot of these show tunes and popular tunes, too. But one of the things we're going to do is we'll stand right here in this place and we're going to learn how to sing the Harry chorus together. And we're going to seek to launch a whole new attitude. Now, we may not make it, but we're the pioneer. Now, listen, Americans, sometimes you just, all you can do is begin. It's going to be a week of experimenting. I'm going to talk to you some about meetings. And we're going to have meetings in which we get ready for meetings all during the first part of the week. And at the end of the week, we're going to have some of these meetings. And that kind of meetings you're going to have, that's for you to find out by being here. Those of you listening to the tape, you may come, but if you have not listened to the tape, then in this conference, you cannot come to the first 4 days. All we could do is come to the last of the week and be jealous. We're going to break up my altars, terrace, so on and so forth. If you have anyone, he is gifted being him. That ask him, please, to know that he will be part of the whole. He will not be a prima donna. A week's not long enough. We're going to go mornings, afternoons, and evenings. Now, my wife says, honey, you can't go mornings, afternoons, and evenings, and that is correct. But somebody else will be teaching you the Hallelujah course in their afternoons. And they'll teach you on the street where we love. And we're going to learn Oklahoma. You're going to learn the greatest song ever written. I've never done what we're going to do next summer. And I'm going to spend the whole year thinking about this and innovating. I will be here. I'm not asking you to be here. I'm exerting you to be here. I'm imploring you to be here. I regret you, but I'm better not do that, how about? I asked my wife this morning, I said, honey,
Do you think the Lord put in the bullet at me? And she said, Mother, if he had.
What is it? He read the mirror.
Sit there.
We're going to have every kind of innovative new thing that I and you together can think about.
I may even send some letters out to you and ask you for suggestions of things we can do here. We had not yet begun. For instance, just taking a cursive reading of 1 Corinthians. That I'd have a whole meeting in which, where anything that can be done, thus every one of us brings a psalm. That's in the New Testament. Why not have another meeting? And that's so we'll do that just that weekend. But why not have a meeting in which nothing can be brought except a melody and a song that you wrote, making melody in our hearts? How about a meeting set aside for one sole purpose, and that is fair encouragement? One meeting in which you can do nothing but come in and bring encouragement. Why not? That's also the New Testament. In fact, everything I've said to you makes those kind of the New Testament. Why not have a meeting which, wow, what a meeting this would be. It can be nothing but exhortation. Now, not everybody can exhort. We can almost all encourage, but we'd have to have a meeting in which only the exhorters would speak. I had been in those kind of meetings. They are a gully washer. When the entire meeting was given over to exhortation. Let me carry some of the things that I had not seen on an occasion. We can bear from the past. The Moravians had meetings this way.
One person would come to the front, and he would say, here is my testimony and song.
And he would, and that's a series of songs. He would not tell you one thing about his life. But they had so many songs. He would tell this whole still of his Christian life, announcing song, and people would sing it with him.
And that comes back to this business of birthdays. We can have meetings around birthday parties. We can have birthday party meetings. We can have 80 shower meetings. We can have anniversary meetings. And of course, the best of our meetings, non-meeting meetings.
We got Asians to sail a plan that had not been sailed upon. Now, I want you to get excited about next summer,
and I ask you to be here. Start your little fun, but now, a little Christmas fun. You start to buy Christmas presents, then do that. Start a Gianda Fourth fun to be here.
Burn your instruments with you, but remember, we're not going to just go up. We're also going to go deep.
Yeah.